Hello and welcome to Coffee and Catechism, a regular podcast on the Catechism of the Anglican Church in North America. I am but your amateur catechist, Richard Reeb. This is a production of Amateur Anglican. Hello, welcome back. This should probably be a relatively short podcast, considering the question and answer has no scriptural reference, just an article of religion. I am drinking my coffee. I have butternut crunch as we wrap up the end of the season of Pentecost and are about to head into Advent on Sunday. So for the prayer, I'd actually like to do the Venite, which is one of the standard opening for the Book of Common Prayer. The mercy of the Lord is everlasting. O come, let us worship him. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us heartily rejoice in the strength of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and show ourselves glad in him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are all the depths of the earth, and the heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands prepared the dry land. O come, let us worship and fall down, and kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me and put me to the proof, though they had seen my works. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, It is a people that err in their hearts, for they have not known my ways, of whom I swore in my wrath, that they should not enter into my rest. The mercy of the Lord is everlasting. O come, let us adore him. So, question. We're up to question 125 in the finalized catechism. Bottom of page 56. I'm trying to think of all the little things I try to make sure to say first thing. Bottom of page 56 in the catechism, 125. How do these differ from the sacraments of the gospel? So, referring to the previous question of are there other sacraments, which I believe the last time I kind of inserted in a word into the catechism and sort of said, yes, there's other sacraments. And the catechism doesn't say, yes, there are other sacraments. It says there are other rites and institutions commonly called sacraments, include confirmation, ordination, marriage, absolution, and the anointing of the sick. They're sometimes called sacraments of the church. So 125 is, how do they differ from the sacraments of the gospel? Answer, they were not ordained by Christ as necessary to salvation, but arose from the practices of the apostles in the early church, or were blessed by God in Scripture. God clearly uses them as means of grace. So, how do these differ from the sacraments of the gospel? So, the baptism and the Lord's Supper are called dominical sacraments, meaning ordered by Christ distinctly. The others, they were not ordained by Christ as is necessary to salvation. So key piece, salvific. Are they salvific or no? But arose from the practices of the apostles in early church, or were blessed by God in Scripture. God clearly uses them as means of grace. So our little reference is our own Articles of Religion, number 25. 25 is of the sacraments. Sacraments ordained of Christ be not only badges or tokens of Christian men's profession, but rather they be certain sure witnesses and effectual signs of grace, and God's good will towards us, by which he doth work invisibly in us, and doth not only quicken, but also strengthen and confirm our faith in him. There are two sacraments ordained of Christ our Lord in the Gospel, that is to say, baptism and the Supper of the Lord. Those five commonly called sacraments, that is to say, confirmation, penance, orders, matrimony, and extreme unction, are not to be counted for sacraments of the Gospel, being such as they have grown partly of the corrupt following of the apostles, partly are states of life allowed in scriptures, but yet have not like nature of sacraments with baptism and the Lord's Supper, for they were not any visible sign or ceremony ordained of God. The sacraments were not ordained of Christ to be gazed upon or to be carried about, but that we should duly use them. And in such only as worthily receive the same, they have a wholesome effect or operation. But they that receive them unworthily purchase to themselves damnation, as Saint Paul saith. Here ends the reading. So a sharp contrast between the dominical sacraments and the other sacraments, as they are called, sacraments of the church. This is not to say, there's almost a way in which you could say this is the difference between scripture and the Apocrypha. And I think it kind of bears itself out in a lot of different church settings in the way that the outside of the three major traditions, that's probably summing it up too much. The more ancient traditions, the ones that use an older liturgy, the Apocrypha, like the way that the Eastern Orthodox, it's almost like it's kind of like the JV scripture. It's like not good enough for the big team, but it's pretty decent, right? It's good stuff. If you've ever read Judith or the Wisdom of Sirach, they're decent books. It's like reading any decent book by reading Spurgeon's sermons or something, right? This is somebody who's thought deeply on Scripture, reflected on it, and has sort of passed through the hands of many of people, many Christians, and they've all found something. Pilgrim's Progress, Imitation of Christ, things that lots and lots of Christians have read, or lots and lots of faithful people, in the case of the Apocrypha, lots of faithful people have read them. They're not the Word of God. That's why if you do a reading from Judith or Ecclesiasticus, you're not going to say the Word of the Lord at the end. You're going to say, here ends the reading. It makes a marked distinction. Same here with these sacraments. Now, the Roman Catholics would not make such a distinction, and Eastern Orthodox, I don't know the answer to that off the top of my head. But within the Anglican tradition, there's a marked distinction between these sacraments. I will say, though, that it is interesting when the current Pope was pushed on gay marriage, he said it would be an impossibility because one of the sacrament of marriage, they can't change a sacrament. And my heart sort of sank a bit in my little Anglican chest. I'm thinking, that would have been nice for us to have, but there you go. But they need to be understood as good, solid guideposts, not in the same way in the sacramental nature, like the really, really deep nature of baptism and the Lord's Supper. But they have, God ordains marriage in Genesis. Before the fall, right? He makes Eve and he joins them together as one flesh, he says. They are of one flesh. They are literally of the same flesh, right? So these are good things ordained by God. Not everybody can pass through them. Not everybody's going to go through ordination or orders. and not all go through matrimony. The other ones, of course, everybody can go through. Not everybody gets extreme unction at the end, sort of last rites. But these are, you know, the anointing of the sick, I think, is the, you know, anointing of the sick rather than extreme unction. Sorry, this is a slightly older wording of the 39 articles, having originally been written more like a Shakespearean English. And so there's a couple different sort of adjustments of them over the years to sound a little more natural, especially with us, this is our English cousins language, as it were. So that's question 125. How do these differ from the sacraments of the gospel? They were not ordained by Christ as necessary to salvation, but arose from the practices of the apostles in the early church, or were blessed by God in scripture. God clearly uses them as a means of grace. I'm going to end with the Benedictus, the song of Zechariah from Luke. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free. He raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins and the tender compassion of our God. The dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.